The best music from the 60s to today. IPL Radio.
Welcome to IPL Radio Podcasting Room. You're with Mish on Good Vibrations here this morning. And I have a wonderful guest with me, George. Hi, George.
Hi, Mish.
How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Lovely to meet you. And I know we've already chatted this morning, so it seems a bit strange having to go back into it again. We are here to discuss your story.
Yes.
Your story is a journey of mental health.
Yes.
But it goes deeper than that. How far do you want to... Actually, before we start, I want to let people know that there could be a trigger moment. So this could be triggering. So if you're uncomfortable with talking about suicide or listening to about suicide or alcoholism, please switch off now, but come back to us at another time. For those who are staying with us, thank you for staying with us. And George is going to talk about his mental health journey today, which does cover suicide and alcoholism. If I ask you, George, anything you're uncomfortable with,
yes,
please just let me know. I don't want to delve into anything you're uncomfortable to do.
No, that's fine.
We're here just having a chat and that sort of thing. So how far do you want to go back with your story? Where does it start?
Well, it started when I was late, probably 38, 39, and alcoholism kicked in.
Yeah.
Which my whole family, of my parents were alcoholics.
Okay. So do you think that's a DNA thing?
Partly, yeah. Well, it is definitely a DNA,
okay,
but it needs something to trigger it.
So it needs a trigger.
You need a trigger.
Do you want to talk about your trigger?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, mine was a marriage breakup.
Uh-huh.
I lost my children. I couldn't find them. And
wow.
I was absolutely devastated because we were so close.
Did she leave with the children?
She took off. Yeah, took the kids.
Oh, wow.
She was a pretty bad lady. But anyway, I see my oldest daughter now.
Oh, that's terrific.
We've got the best relationship in the world.
How did you find her?
She found me.
Oh, wow.
Because we were very close.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and she found me.
Oh, that's terrific.
And that was beautiful.
What about your other kids?
No, she's gone and mum's away and they're pretty nasty people.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I don't want to bring it into my family now.
No, and you get to a point in your life where you just want the positivity in your life.
Yes, right.
You just want the love and the support and the confidence. You just don't want that negativity anyway.
No.
Because it sounds like you've been through enough of that anyway.
That's right.
And you're trying to avoid that. So you've got a beautiful relationship with your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Is she close by?
In Forestfield area.
Oh, that's okay. That's
she's
still WA.
Truck drive. She drives big trucks.
Oh, okay.
Her and her partner have got a couple of big
trucks.
Oh,
right. Awesome.
And she does a great job.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So grandkids?
Yeah, got quite a few grandkids, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 8.
Oh my God.
Love them to death.
From that one family, that one daughter?
No, from my second marriage.
Oh, sorry, okay, so how many has your daughter got?
Two girls.
Two girls, okay. Well,
one's just done a graduation.
Oh, wow.
And she was struggling and she got through.
Oh, good for her.
So that was beautiful.
That's terrific. So you've got two...
Granddaughters
from you, okay. So that's awesome that you've got that relationship. And do you have a lot to do with the girl, the granddaughters?
Yeah, as much as we can, but because where we live, they're so far apart, it's
really
hard.
And they're probably at the age where they get a little bit selfish and they're doing their own thing. Yeah, that's exactly right. They'll come back in the fold, don't worry
about that. That's fine, no, yeah. They always ring me to see if I'm still all right.
That's cool. Yeah. That's so cool. So that's a positive thing that's come out of all this. You've got your daughter back and you've got grandkids to do with that.
Yes.
So let's go back. So you had a marriage breakdown.
Yes. Yep.
She took the kids away from you.
Yep.
Did you still have a home at that point?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was actually living with my mother and father. But
okay.
That was probably for me, that was a bad thing because they drank a lot.
I forgot about that. Okay, so that was
the trigger.
That was it. So they sort of encouraged it.
Yeah.
It was a role model thing.
It was my choice, wasn't
it?
It
was, of course. It is always your choice. But role model situation, you're seeing, and you're in a very dark and low point in your life anyway.
Yes, that's right.
What can I ask you? What was it in your mind? I know you were very low at that point.
Mm-hmm.
What makes having alcohol better for you at that point?
At that time, when you're drinking, the world, you're a happy man. Your world's a good place until you get to that point when you're drinking, and it reverses and you go down. You go into
because I always was under the impression that alcohol was a depressive.
Yes.
So you get to a point of drinking so much that you're happy.
Yes, right. And then you come to a peak.
Yeah.
And then it reverses.
So how do you don't know when that peak's going to be?
No, not really.
That's the point,
you just
isn't
keep
it?
Drinking. That's
so
the
you
thing.
Just keep drinking and yes. hope that, that happiness comes back again.
Mm.
Is that why you keep drinking?
No, it's also the urge because you've got the urge to drink.
It's an addiction,
it's
pretty
right? Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very hard to give it up.
Yep.
And so next morning you've got to have a drink.
Okay,
because
you're
shaking for a start.
Oh, right.
You can't have a cup of coffee because you spill it.
Oh, is that how bad it gets?
Oh, it's shocking.
Really?
Yeah, very bad.
So that's the DTs.
DTs, oh yeah, it's really bad.
What is the reason for that?
Oh, just a nerve. I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know the reason behind
yeah,
that one.
Just
yeah, I don't know about that one
you
either.
You need a drink to calm it down.
Do you get sweaty? Sweat?
Yes,
you sweat a lot as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So going back, your marriage is lost, your children have just gone with her and you don't know where they've gone.
No.
You're living with your parents who are alcoholics anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a really low stage of your life, a really bad stage of your life where alcohol is your only escape.
Yes.
Were you working?
I always had to keep a job.
Okay.
But when I thought I was getting close to getting sacked because I was having days off with hangovers or I was drunk or they could smell the alcohol on me.
Yep.
I would quit and get another job because
like
I was a welder so I could get work anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So you maintain a job, which was great.
Yeah.
That's a positive. Although you were aware of the fact that people are going to judge you on the fact that they can smell the alcohol, you're having too much time off work. So you were still cognitively understanding that part of it.
That's right.
Still living with your parents?
Yes.
How long did this process go for?
Oh, quite a few years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Before, I didn't always live with my parents. And sometimes I lived in the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I just couldn't go home. I couldn't drive. I was too drunk.
Okay.
So I used to sleep in a tree or...
Really?
I'll sleep in a tree so people couldn't get you.
Can you talk about that a bit
more?
Yeah,
I can talk about that, yeah. Yeah, I used to go up to Russell Square in Perth a lot because I could sleep there, but then you get attacked by people.
Are they usually people that are...
Alcoholics and drug addicts.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask.
They're trying to get more money.
Okay. Which really, you're not going to have a lot of money on you anyway.
No,
so they're literally taking coins off of you.
Yeah,
do they beat you up?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah. We get a beating when you're on a bench and they wanted that bench.
Is that right?
They drag you off and kick you and whatever.
Wow.
So I used to climb in a tree and sleep in a tree.
Climb in a tree? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the, how do I put it without using a word? Well, I'm going to have to use a word. How are the police with you in that situation?
Well, I've got a couple of DD charges,
like
drunk driving.
Yeah.
But I was never violent or aggro or anything like that. And
what about when you were on the street? Did they hassle you when you were on the street?
Not really, because I didn't do anything wrong.
Were you in a tree, they wouldn't even know you were there?
They wouldn't know. Well, one time they were looking for me and they were right underneath me and I was in the branches.
I wish you had a camera, that would be hilarious.
Oh, I had to say something, I was about
Did
to start
you?
Laughing. And they just said, George, get down here now.
Wow, that would have been hilarious to watch. Okay, so at this point, you're in and out of the home.
Yes.
Your parents are still drinking. Have they got no support at all?
Not really. My parents are the most beautiful people. Don't
yeah,
be
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the alcohol doesn't mean
they
anything.
They were the best parents you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. They were going through their own struggles.
Well, Dad had World War II issues.
There you go. They're going through their own struggles.
So...
Which is understandable, you know, and people have their own stories. Mm. We all have our own journeys and our own stories.
That's right.
So in and out of the home, still drinking, keeping a job. This went on for a few years. When you say a few years, how many years did you think this
Probably
was
about
going?
3 years.
Oh, okay. All right, 3 years. What was your... I know you've got a brother here that's actually doing a mural for us out the front, and I've interviewed a couple of times. What was his support like during this moment of the 3 years?
Well, sometimes I used to go around to him drunk and that, and he was always there for me.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
My sister was over in Sydney. Uh-huh. She couldn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But my brother was my guardian.
Okay.
I suppose you can
Good.
Call it. Yeah.
Good. That's great that you had support from your parents, support from your brother and from your sister, but who wasn't able to be, you know, the location-wise was limited. So you still had the love and support of family.
Yep.
Because a lot of the time when there's alcohol involved, people that don't understand mental health can push you under the carpet or sweep you under the carpet and just not want anything to do with you.
Oh, very truly.
Yeah. Were you, I know you were working, so you had an income coming in. You weren't stealing anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
Because alcohol can make, you know, alcohol drugs can do this. Money. So no drugs at all?
No, not at all.
No. So this happened for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. What turned you around? What was your turning point?
I got done for drunk driving. Mm-hmm. And a judge looked at me and said, look, if you come in here again, I'm going to put you in jail.
Good, okay.
And the Salvation Army were there, a major.
Ah.
And he says, George, you come with me.
Oh.
And from there on, that was my journey of starting to sober up.
What did that process?
I went to a place called Bridge House in Mount Lawley.
Yeah.
And that's where you start off your process.
So it's a rehabilitation centre?
Yes.
For drugs and alcohol?
Just our drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty, in those days, it was a pretty scary place.
So you're living there?
Well, you stay there, you get benefits from the government.
Yeah.
They take a big percentage of it.
Okay.
To cover your food.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
But you sleep in and you start off detoxing in a big giant room.
Wow.
With 12 beds of K-pop mattresses.
Oh, wow.
A table in the middle with a cup of coffee.
So you're in with other people while you're detoxing?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
That would be quite horrific.
That was the hard part, getting through that.
Yeah. How long does that take, that process?
Well, realistically, probably to get through the first stage, about a month.
Wow.
We're there for about a month, and then we get transferred to Harry Hunter's.
Yeah.
Which is in Gosnells.
Okay.
In a big place, and we stay up there for 3 months.
Yeah.
And that's, you're only just cracking the surface.
What happens during that time? In that next 3 months, do you do what do they give you? What do they offer?
They give you counselling.
Yeah,
lots of counselling. You have set chores to do when you're up at Harry's.
Good.
And same in Bridge, you've got to do cooking and cleaning and all that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're capable of walking after the start.
Oh wow. Quite sick.
I ended up in Mount Lawley Hospital. They transferred me for a couple of days because I was quite sick. But then I came back and just kept pushing through.
Okay.
It was hard, very hard. But when we were up at Harry's, it was the major from the Salvation Army took a shine to me.
Yeah.
And he really guided me a lot.
Okay.
I'm not a religious person.
Yeah.
I believe in God, but I'm not over religious. Yeah. From there, because I was a welder, they put me in a welding shop.
Okay.
Fix the machines up.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And then I tended to, when we had time out, I would go out into the community.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to isolate myself.
Good, that's great.
Close.
Yeah.
I had to face my enemy, the alcohol.
Yeah, oh gee, that would be hard.
It was, because not many of us got through
doing that. But why do you think you're different from everybody else who didn't make it?
They just weren't strong enough and they weren't ready, a lot of them.
That's the thing.
You've got to be ready.
Yeah,
you've
that's
gotta
the
be,
thing.
Go to the bottom,
yeah.
to realise how bad it is, and then come out of it.
Okay.
Because it's not a good world.
Do you know what? That you going through this process of absolute rock bottom to sitting here in front of me today to be able to tell your story is so damn courageous. And you should be so proud of yourself.
40 plus years try.
You should be so proud of yourself.
Yeah, I am. And all the people that have helped me.
It's a massive thing you've gone through. And that's so strong.
I will never go back. Not for my family.
No.
I wouldn't do it to my family, never.
Good.
Not in this lifetime.
That's so good.
No.
Okay, no. So we're talking about the 3 months. Where is it at?
Harry Hunter's.
Harry Hunter's in Gosnells.
Gosnells, yeah.
Is that, do you have your own room?
You start off in a room with about, I think it's 7 beds.
Okay.
And then you slowly, as you go through your month,
yeah,
you get your own room.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but you've got to earn it. You've got to work through it and then go up to it.
What's the staff like? God,
beautiful.
That would be hard.
They're all volunteers.
Wow.
A lot of Salvation Army people.
A lot of have the staff been through your process as well?
A lot of them have.
Right. So they're understanding completely about what you're going through.
That's right.
Because it's all very well us sitting here and just going from the medical book on this is what you should do, that's what you should do. But you really do need someone who's actually physically felt the pain.
Yes.
Not only physical pain, but mental pain as well.
Yes.
Because they're the only ones that really understand.
Yeah, you can't. They used to give us counsellors, but they were kids. And I used
yeah,
to walk
see,
out.
Yeah.
I'd say, look, you're a kid.
You're not
when you've been where I've been, come back.
Then come back. Yeah, I totally understand that.
I used to always get in trouble over that.
But it's understandable to me. From my opinion, is you can't talk to someone about your issues and your pains. That someone who really does not understand.
Yeah.
Has never been there.
It's a horrible, scary place.
Yeah.
But you just got to stay strong and get through.
Yeah. Wow.
The light at the end of the tunnel is beautiful. Absolutely.
Wow.
Best life.
So after the 3 months of being in the Gosnells facility, then where do you go?
Then I left, but I was lucky.
Yeah.
I got a job straight away within 2 days.
Wow.
Well, I went to it was more than 2 days. I went to a place where we had a house.
Yeah.
In Cloverdale, a couple of houses.
Yeah.
Where we could slowly adjust in the community.
Oh. Well, you probably went through the process quite quickly then.
Well, 3 months. So then it's probably another 2 months there.
Okay.
So it took a while.
Yeah.
And then I got a job. Since I got a job, I had to leave.
Yeah.
And then where did I go then? I can't remember where I went. Is that long ago?
You must have had some. They must have assisted you with some accommodation somewhere.
You're on your own once you pull out. That's it. You've done your time.
Okay.
You're on your own. I think I stayed at mum and dad's for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I met my beautiful wife. And life turned around. 100, my angel.
Isn't that funny?
Turned around.
Yeah. Can you ask how you met her?
We went to one of those single dudes. And there was a lady in red coming the door.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's her. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, that's him.
Oh, how gorgeous is that?
And then we,
that's so beautiful.
We got talking and then from there on, 40 plus years.
Wow.
Still madly in love.
That's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's so cute. That's beautiful.
Yep.
And life, and she understands the process, your life has been up to that point.
Her parents were alcoholics.
So she knows your story.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And very accepting of it.
Yep.
And understanding.
Yeah, well and truly.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, she was good. It was, life is still hard.
Yeah.
Even though you don't drink, because you still got to get through the pressures of life.
Yeah.
And like we had our own business.
Yeah.
We lost it. We lost our house. We lost
everything. Wow. So that could have been a pivotal moment of you going back to alcohol.
That's what most people do, but I didn't do it.
Good.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it to my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
But life is still harsh, but you can't use alcohol as an excuse to make you feel better and go back to it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you'd be a very sick person.
Wow.
If you survive.
If you survive, that's right. That's so inspirational, and it's just an amazing... It's almost like I always use this, and I think every blooming interview I use, it's almost like a rebirth. Reborn.
Well and truly, yeah. You've got a second chance at life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Look. Any people that have got a drinking problem, please give it a go.
Yeah.
Because there is a light at the end of the tunnel and one hell of a life after it.
I think you were very lucky, or it was fate, that Salvation Army man was there at the courts at that moment. At that moment.
Well, that major actually married us.
Oh, really?
When it came to my wedding, he married us, and there wasn't a dry eye in the wedding.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't there at that pivotal moment...
Mm.
Your journey may be totally different.
No, I think I was strong enough to get through about him. I didn't use him all that much.
Yeah.
I just battled on the moment.
He gave you a direction though,
when I needed it, he'd pull me over and ask me how I was.
Yeah. But he assisted you in your first point in accommodation rehab, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I've had dealings with Salvation Army in the past, and they're amazing.
They are.
I'm a support worker, so I sometimes take some of my clients to Salvation Army just because they have a wonderful situation where you can just go in for a coffee or breakfast and just sit and relax. And but they're not heavy on the religion. They don't pump it into you.
They don't either.
It's not, now we've given you a coffee, you need to come to a session on a Sunday.
Yes.
I've never had that.
No.
My grandfather was in the world in one of the wars. It must have been... First World War.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that the thing he remembers about the Salvation Army, they were always on the front line, handing out soups and teas and stuff like that.
Yeah, my dad said that too.
Yeah, always there. He said they were always there, no questions asked, not handing you a Bible every 5 minutes. They were just there to support the people that needed to be supported.
Well, my dad was in the jungle in New Guinea.
Yeah.
And they were there.
Yeah.
In the jungle.
Yeah, that's what my grandfather said. They were always there. And you could always rely on the fact that they would be there.
Yes.
Except that's what he remembers Salvation Army. And from what I've had with my clients and stuff going out, I've had the same thing. They're always wonderfully wanting to help you out. I don't mean to, we probably shouldn't be talking about
it's just
the
so
names
special.
But I mean, there's plenty of places out there that will help you in the same way. Don't get me wrong. I've actually noticed a lot of places here in the Rockingham area that will assist homeless in many, many ways. There's food hampers everywhere you look, which
that's
is just...
Weird. If you're an alcoholic and you want to go to Bridge House, it's not an easy process to get into. It's because it's so busy.
Yeah.
It takes quite a while to get in.
Which that time to take to get in might be...
Could be months.
It could be your doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It could be too late. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, could be too late.
It's a very hard... And when you do get in there, it's a tough trek, tough piece of your life.
When you're in there, for the first month, which is your hardest part, could you walk out at any time?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Can. Yeah. And if they find that you've been drinking at all the time,
you can't
come
back.
They'll put suitcases on the road.
Is that right? So they're quite strict on that?
Yeah, no mucking around.
Wow.
No coming back.
How hard would it... Temptations were obviously...
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, well, you've got to go out sometimes out of there to, say, go to the doll office to sign something or go to court for something you've done.
Do you get anyone to come with you, or you're on your own?
On my own most of the time, yeah.
Temptation, you walk past
always,
the pub.
I was pretty stubborn bugger. Yeah. And I like to do my own thing and hold my own.
Yeah.
But, I can't believe, you've got lawyers, police officers, all sorts of
all
doctors,
sorts of people.
You know, unbelievable engineers.
And that's why people shouldn't judge, because you see an alcoholic on the street or someone homeless on the street.
No, never judge them.
Don't judge them. We're all human beings. We're
that's
all equals.
Right. Yep.
Because I don't like titling people, judges, whatever, but we're all human beings. We all have struggles. Doesn't matter how much money you've got. Doesn't matter how much support you have. When it comes to mental health, you're on your own.
You are very.
You're really much
on
your own. And
I used to find night times used to be the worst times.
I think that's probably for most people.
Yeah. I used to, if I wake, even now, if I wake up, I'll go down and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I won't turn the TV on because
it's a stimulant. Yeah.
I'll just sit there, be quiet, have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Go back and try.
Has it affected your health in any way?
No, I was lucky.
Long term?
No, I was
lucky.
No,
you're very lucky.
I've got diabetes, but that's hereditary.
Yeah.
When I was drying out, I would have only had 3 months to live.
Jeez.
My liver was the size of
Is that right?
Football, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then that came good. And I was very, very lucky.
So they helped you out medically as well?
Well, I didn't. Well, I went to the hospital once because of my oxygen levels all dropped while I was drying out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they got me back on my feet there and then put me back in.
Yeah.
But medically, they didn't really do too much for me after that.
Okay.
They feed us very well.
Yeah.
Good food all the time.
Yeah. And routine. I've noticed that routine is very, very important.
It is.
I've actually spoken to somebody else who's gone through the rehab situation, and they're very strict on
the
routine.
They are.
And they need you to have your day completely full of something.
Yes.
You haven't got any time to think about anything else.
No,
but what's next? What's next on my list? What time of, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, they've got all courses.
Something on all the time.
Yeah, working, doing the garden.
That's
whatever.
Right. There's always something on, which is great. And that's really good for your mental health as well.
It is, yes.
Because I suffer from issues as well with my mental health. If I'm busy, I'm happier.
Yes.
If I've got too much time on my hands, I overthink everything.
You do.
And start questioning everything, which is a bad thing.
Well, I think everybody's got that problem.
Yeah, exactly. But I think when someone has a mental health issue, it's tenfold.
Oh, yeah.
So you've gone from alcoholic parents to living with your parents, well, before that, losing your partner and your children to start with.
Yep.
To going into a rehab situation through the Salvation Army helped you out with that. To then finding your beautiful angel of a wife.
Yep.
Having the beautiful support of your brother and your sister.
Yes.
In whatever capacity they're able to help you out in. I think you're very lucky with that as well. A lot of people lose families.
Well, they burn the bridges.
They burn bridges, yeah, correct. Yeah. So I think it's wonderful that you still have that. And you still have a wonderful relationship with your brother and sister.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Which is terrific.
They can't hold it.
How's your mum and dad doing?
They're gone. They've
oh, have died. They?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dad died at an early age, 63.
Oh, okay.
The war got him in the end.
Yeah.
Now with the alcohol. And mum, we nursed her with cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would have been 90-odd now. Then.
Wow. So. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that we're guaranteed that we're going to die at some stage.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of suffering.
Yeah. I'm afraid of putting a burden on my family.
Yeah.
That's what I don't
want
that's to
true.
Do.
That's true
my biggest
too.
Issue.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I'll put in my will, but if I'm terminally ill, I'm allowed to have the needle. If
just
it's
let me go. Yeah.
I don't want to put that burden on them.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's a fair call too.
But that's next part of the journey.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm a rustic artist now.
Yeah.
Because I'm a welder. I've got a workshop and I can make rustic art, working lovely every
single
day. That's
awesome. Mm. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, I've always done it. My dad was did blacksmithing, sheet metal, and I worked with him most a long period of my life as a welder. And then when, basically I suppose, when did I do it? After I met the wife, I started making stuff to make ends meet because things were pretty tough.
Yeah.
And then finally we had our own business for quite a long, for 16 years.
What business was that, Grant?
That was building service stations.
Oh, really?
Putting tanks in the ground.
Wow.
Like Australia. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was a big job, big one. And we lost that and we lost everything. But
just
we had
in.
Each other and
yeah.
our family.
Yeah.
That's all that mattered.
Wow.
And we had our health.
Yeah.
So we got back on the bike and off we went again.
Wow.
And now we're retired.
Wow.
So when I retired, I got my art work going, as my brother does with his painting.
Yeah.
And I do the steel work, like garden,
yeah.
bird feeders and
that's so
robots
cool.
out of old tanks.
I love that. I love that.
Some weird stuff come out of that workshop.
I'm quite a creative person.
Mm. Very important that.
And I've only realised this in the last probably about 4 years that I art is in the eye of the beholder. I don't care whether I'm good or not. I'm not, but I enjoy doing it.
That's the main thing.
And I find that when I'm creating something,
yep,
I'm in the moment.
That's right.
Totally in the moment.
You've
I'm not thinking about what's happened yesterday. I'm not thinking about what's happening tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm totally in the moment, and it's so good for your mental health.
Yes.
And today I've noticed that they've got colouring books for people for their mental health.
Okay.
It can be as simple as that. They've got a picture and you colour it in.
Well, that gets your art going.
Exactly.
Art, it opens that little avenue.
It does. Yeah. And it's been really good for me.
Mm.
And when I'm in a difficult stage of my mental health, I need to create something. At the moment, I'm in the process of making a Christmas tree out of dead branches.
Beautiful.
Because I have a vision.
Yeah, I could see it.
But whether it's going to be any good or not, I don't know, and I don't really care.
Are you painting
end.
The branches or?
No. So what I'm doing is, I've got an old trunk, a tree trunk.
Yes. Oh, beautiful.
A piece of dowel, straight up and down.
Yep.
And then I've got all this wood that I've come across, and it's all in sort of that angle.
Yeah, I'm with you.
With a hole in the middle, and they'll go over the dowel. And then you twist them around so they've got branches, it looks like branches. But I've also got on collectors a heap of dried gum nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to put a hole in the top of the gum nut so I can put a bit of string on it, and then dip the gum nut in some tinsel,
glitter.
Glitter.
Yeah.
So they'll be my like Christmas ball things, you know.
Oh, I like
so that's
it.
My vision. Whether it works out, I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
But the thing is with me, I don't spend time. I'm a bull in a china shop. I have to have it done now.
Well, the other day we broke down our car, you know, and it cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we were I was in a bad space. Everything was going wrong. Like, I got these magpies that come into my workshop at a distance, you know. And I just finished a clock and they knocked that over.
Oh,
and it was just one of those
days. One of those days.
And I thought, well, I walked out and I went, no. And I walked back in my workshop and I made a new piece of artwork.
Good on you.
And then I was all right.
And you felt fine,
I was in the space.
You're in a zone. It's like a zone. You're in a zone, a creative zone.
But if you're not into it,
You've got to walk away. You've got to walk away. And that's exactly what I did, because I've never used a drill before. So with this thing, I'm using a drill, right? Yeah. And I've never used a drill before. I had to ring my dad 3 times to find out what I'm doing wrong. And when I first used the drill, it just wasn't going in the wood for some reason. All this smoke coming out. It's like I was starting a fire, and I rang my dad up and he said, you've got it going the wrong way. It's got to go clockwise, not anti-clock. I thought, for crying out loud. That's how bad I was. And then I found out that there's a kickback when it gets stuck in the bloody...
That's very dangerous.
I thought I was going to break my arm.
It will.
I couldn't use my arm the next day. So I said, I'm not doing any... I'm not touching it today.
Use a battery drill. A lot safer.
It is a battery drill.
Was it?
Wow. Yeah. Bloody kickback on it was awful. I never heard of it before, but bloody hurt. 3 times that happened. So yesterday I said, no, I'm not touching it today. I just haven't got it today. I'm not with it.
Another way to get around that too is drill a pilot hole. They call it a small hole. And bend the bigger drill.
I know. I did try that, but my branches are about that thick, and I'm trying to go in 16 mil, so I don't have a lot of play with it. But anyway, it's creative, and I'll go back to it this afternoon.
Yep, no.
But I needed that day off just to get over my aches and pains. And literally, I was swearing under my breath. I wasn't actually swearing under my breath. I actually screamed out the F word because I got so frustrated with it.
Mm.
But I was fine after that. So there's a wonder next door didn't ring the police to find out what was going on.
Yeah, you can get all that sometimes. Yeah,
but I do love to create. And I don't do it often enough, but I should do it more. I like making things out of other old stuff, like you with your metal.
Mine's all old. It's all recycled.
Yes, I love that.
Like, I've just finished making a table out of an old engine block.
Oh, I love
it. With the pistons in there and the table. But alcoholics are very artistic.
Why is that?
I don't know. But a lot of, when I was up in the farm drying out, there were some really artistic people up there doing
stuff. Were they artistic beforehand?
I don't think so. I don't think they realised until they started sobering up and realised.
Oh, wow.
And their brain sort of went to a different channel.
That's funny, isn't it?
Opened up, but they were quite clever,
some
of them.
That's bizarre. Unbelievable. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, but you're just going to unlock your brain.
And
because you've got time. So you start trying something new, then suddenly bang.
I love creating out of something out of anything.
Oh, that's exciting.
To see something being created and to see the end product is it gives you confidence.
I don't use drawings, and I don't follow any YouTube. I do my own art.
Okay.
No, nothing's the same.
Yeah, that's good.
It's always different. You know?
That's really good.
Like, I've got old cutting boards and put a clock in there.
Wow.
Clean it all up with the wood and varnish it and then put a clock in there.
I had all my dad's old tools, because he was a fitter turner from England, and they were just rusted in a toolbox, and he gave me the toolbox, and I thought, what the hell am I going to do with that? So he had a whole heap of Allen keys, but the really chunky ones, and they're all rusted.
Yeah.
So I joined them up so they look like flower petals.
Oh yeah.
They all joined up.
Yeah.
And then I had a whole heap of marbles. I stuck the marbles in there.
I love my marbles.
It just stuck inside this picture, and it just looks like a flower. It's just gorgeous.
I make like car springs. I make dogs out of car springs.
Yeah.
And then I put a big nut for eyes, but I put a marble in the
big
eye.
Marbles,
They look fantastic.
I know. I just love doing that sort of stuff.
They're looking at me going, they're looking at your eye, they're looking at you. It's good. It's just...
You just make something out of nothing.
That's right.
Or when I say nothing, there's something that will be discarded normally, but you bring it back to life again.
I'll teach you how to weld if you ever want to.
You know what? There's actually a ladies group out there. It's women on the tools.
I teach women how to weld.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because this is the first time I've used a drill before.
Yep.
Last year, this is the first time I've used a drop saw.
Yes. Ooh.
And I've no instruction, I just get into it. I mean, my husband's got all the tools, I've always wanted to be able to, I think I would.
I can teach you an art.
Yeah, really? I'm scared to use power tools.
Well, that's a big no-no for a start.
I'm scared.
You can't do that, that's dangerous.
I'm scared.
When you're scared to use them.
I am scared.
But I teach them how to, like, a lot of them are elderly women.
Yeah.
Their husbands have passed away at the workshop.
Yeah.
And now they're making animals, going in competition with me.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that it just brings that independence in a woman as well, because...
It does, yep.
I mean, my husband's there to help me out whenever I ask him to, but I want to do it myself. I might ask him a question, but I want a hands-on. I want to do it myself. I want to say I made that with no help.
Oh, well and truly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it just makes you feel independent.
Have you got a welder?
He probably does have one. Stick, probably, an old bloody old great bugly thing.
Yeah, okay. They're still all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it does the job, I guess.
It does.
Mm. I am a bit scared. But you, like, it took me 2 days to get the courage up to use a drill. And when I did, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, I don't like drilling at the best of times. I've got the one where you bench one. That's not so bad.
Oh, that's all right.
You can clamp it all down.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Ones, I hate them.
See, I could have done that, couldn't I? But we don't have one of those, but that would have been easier.
Mm.
But, it was... and we've got security cameras around the house, so I can actually go back and watch me getting all frustrated and pissed off. And
I've got people come down the workshop all the time and have a talk, so I can't get much work done.
Oh, no.
I've got people come around... a bit of a man shed, come out for cups of coffee.
I love that though.
Yeah, I don't mind. I enjoy the company.
Yeah.
But sometimes it gets too much.
Maybe you should do a man shed and just have a specific time.
I'm not into all that.
You're not into that?
No, I just want to do my artwork.
Fair enough.
You know, and I enjoy having a chat. And they bring me junk too. So
bring
I buy
you junk.
Junk.
Yeah, that oh, that's a junk. Really good idea. Because sometimes buying it's expensive.
Yeah. Oh, you have to sometimes.
I know.
We can't get into the rubbish tips anymore. They're shutting them down.
We used to have a property out in Quiriding, and it was a very old farming. We had 102 acres out there, and they used to have a tip area in the past. Ooh, so that all the
that's heaven.
My husband absolutely adored that. We've got glass jars out of the bottles. We've got all that. We've got rabbit traps. We've got the circular. Where they have them all lined up and they cut the grass.
The plough discs.
We've got heaps of plough discs.
Wow.
But he's got an area outside where it's just all that stuff, all antique stuff that he's found on from this tip.
Well, when we were building, when we had the business, we used to go all outback.
Yeah.
We work in the outback.
Yeah.
And I used to come home, the wife would be at the front shaking her finger and my truck would be dragging. Junk on the back.
I know, but it was heaven. He absolutely adored doing that.
It's good.
But people do that now, but they sell it for such a high price.
Well, I don't sell it. My stuff's too cheap because I want people like yourself and normal people to be able to buy it.
Just to be able to do it, that's right.
I'll never make a living out of it because I'm too cheap.
But your living is not dollar worth.
No.
Living is in a different way.
No, it's not
it means something else.
See, that's what happens when you try it out.
Yeah.
Your outlook in life is so different.
Yeah.
And when you look back, put it this way, this is how bad it was. I used to drink in a pub near the railway station. I'd be sitting at the bar and I'd watch some people coming home from work, getting off the train, I'd laugh and I'd say, they're mentally ill.
you're drinking.
Drunk.
Yeah. That's how bad.
That's where you are. That's how bad a place you are.
Wow.
Because you can't face reality. They're coming home to go to their families. They're feeding their families.
Yeah, and you're
sitting
thinking,
in the pub getting drunk.
Yeah.
Feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Mm. Can we quickly touch on AA? And I don't...
Yep.
Maybe we shouldn't, but I know that it didn't work. Okay. For, did you try it?
Oh, it didn't work for me because I'm not a talker or a whinger or anything like that.
That's what I find, because even with my mental health, I've been into group therapies and I don't open up. Like, they'll say, how are you going? I go, I'm fine. You know, and you put that mask on.
That's fake.
And it's fake. Yeah.
Very fake.
What's the point?
Yeah. You're not fine.
No, you're not
fine.
That's
why you're there.
That's why I think one-on-one is better for me. It's not for everyone. I'm not saying it's not a bad thing either, because it can be an absolute best thing someone's ever done.
They use it as a crutch. Too many people use the crutch instead of breaking away and doing their own.
Yeah.
I used to walk out because I'd get up and I'd say, I'm George and I'm an alcoholic and I'm going back to the farm.
And walk out.
Yeah. I'm not George. Oh, I'm sorry.
But this has happened.
It's just not me.
And
they do a great job, AA.
This is just a personal opinion and it's your personal opinion.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
No,
and I think you have to find what's right for you with every process, with anything to do with mental health.
Mm.
There's so many things out there for people to help you out, but you've got to find what's right for you.
Find that niche,
you've got to find that. And and you might try five things that won't work until you find the right thing. So you've really got to keep going.
At the end of the day, it's still up to you. You're responsible
Absolutely. And you have a choice.
That's right.
You have a choice in life to do the right or wrong thing, whatever that may be in your life, you have a choice. You have a choice to take that drink. I have a choice to eat that donut.
That's right.
I have a choice to step outside. I have a choice to ride a motorbike.
Exactly.
I have a choice.
Exactly.
It's no one's fault but your own, because you're the one that's doing that action.
I'll put it, after 3 months, you'll notice a big difference in your life.
Mm.
If you've been off for that 3 months, you'll see a huge difference in your health and in your way of thinking.
Wow.
It's so different. And if you can hang in there, like, got to think it's one day at a time.
Yeah. It's almost 1 hour at a time, I think, at that point, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, even a day is a long time.
Just your night time's your worst enemy.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think because your brain's... You're relaxed. And you're
trying to relax.
You're not. Haven't got things happening around.
I think loneliness is a difficult thing as well.
That's another bad one.
Yeah.
But it's also hard for alcoholics to go out and talk to people because they're ashamed of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Judgment.
I still am.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, I hurt a lot of people. I hurt my mum and dad with stupid things I did.
Yeah, but
look at
the person you've become.
That now.
No. Yes. But look at the person you've become.
That's right. That's why you're the first person I've talked to for probably 40 years.
Wow.
I've never really talked about it. It's like being in a war and you're a veteran.
I guess so. And people don't want to talk about the negativities in their life because it's almost bringing it back to life, and you want to bury that past.
That's right.
But you know what? You've had to go through all that to get to the person you are today.
Yeah. But you also, you've got to remember that too, so you won't do it again.
Yeah.
And move on.
That's right. So don't forget
who you were.
Yeah, don't forget who you were. Don't forget how bad you were in that time, because that's what's made you the man you are today.
Well, I've got beer in my fridge in my workshop.
Yeah, wow.
I wouldn't touch it. It's been sitting there for 2 years, I think.
Wow.
Just sitting a couple of stuff.
Because you've got Christmas coming up. How's that for you?
Like, no worries at all.
No worries at all.
No problem at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't have any issues now.
That's terrific. Yeah,
now and again you might get the urge, so you just have a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Go on again.
All right.
No, but it's not enough to make me go back again.
Because you know how bad it was.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how good you've
got
it now.
I won't do it to my family anyway.
No.
It'd cripple my kids if I did that.
Oh, yeah.
And my grandkids.
Yeah. They all know your story?
Oh, yeah. I don't talk to them too much about it.
No, because it's not something you talk about every day.
Yeah.
But
and I don't like to preach it either.
But I also, you said you don't want to scare them, but I think it's good to scare them just to know that how bad you can be.
But they know they can come and talk to me if they're having trouble.
Good.
You know, they know I'm there if they need me.
Yeah, that's good. So that's all you can do.
So you can't, I think you find if you preach to them too much, they'll go against you.
Okay.
And have a go.
Maybe so.
So far, so good.
If it's working for you, then that's perfectly fine.
That's right, yeah.
Don't change it.
No.
That's terrific.
All good.
Anything else you want to bring up before we say goodbye? Words of wisdom?
Yeah, I'm not a real wise person when it comes to that.
I think you're wiser than you think.
Yeah.
I think you're wiser than you think.
If there is alcoholics listening to me now, I want them to get out there and have a go. Try and dry out.
Live life.
You know, go to the Salvation. Don't have to be Salvation Army.
There's plenty of places out
there. There's a lot of it. There's all sorts. But get in there, have a go, and don't give up.
And don't feel lesser of a person because of what you do.
No.
There's life thousands and hundreds of thousands of people out there doing the same thing.
Huge amount.
And if it's time for you to change, make that change.
But life after alcoholism, you're always an alcoholic, so you've got to be aware of that. Because one drink and that's it, your history.
Yeah.
But after alcoholism, life is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It can be beautiful.
You still have your hard times, naturally.
Naturally, that's life. We all have hard times. Doesn't matter who you are, we're human.
Yeah.
And life can hit you in the balls
whatever
it does at any moment in time.
Mm.
It's how you get over that.
Yes.
Defines you.
Yeah, you need to get up. Keep one day at a time.
Yeah.
Just for 1 hour at a time.
1 hour, whatever you
whatever
need.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Just
whatever
get
it
out
takes.
There and have a go.
And if you do need any assistance, then...
it's all out here for you. It's fair.
Ask.
And ask. Don't
ask.
Be scared to ask.
Don't be scared to ask. Google it if you have to Google it. Speak to your GP if you need to speak to your GP.
Right.
There's communities out there everywhere.
But don't take drugs to help you come off the alcohol.
Do people do that?
There is drugs you can take.
Medical drugs.
Medical
you mean?
Drugs.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't take.
Because that's a different addiction.
Because that's just another one you've got to get over.
Correct.
Just
yeah.
go cold turkey.
Go
it's
cold.
Hard.
Yeah.
But go cold. We call it cold turkey.
Yeah, cold turkey.
You
yeah.
go through the sweats and
yeah.
the urges.
Yeah.
And
same way.
All that gear,
yeah.
and you
yeah.
be very sick for quite a while. But
it's all worth it in the end.
Just shaking. Once the alcohol's out of your system, it gets easier.
Did you I know when people get off cigarettes, they can smell better,
yes.
taste
yep.
better. Did,
oh, yeah,
did all that come back for
yeah,
you?
It does. Yeah.
Wow.
Your taste, your smell.
That's bizarre.
Your way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's huge difference.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing. You can cope with issues better.
You're clearer in your mind to
yeah.
make the right decisions.
Because when you're not had a drink, your brain's all fogged up.
Wow.
And you can't think straight for yourself.
So you make wrong decisions at the time.
No. You wait for people to help make that decision for you, which is
it could be the wrong
normally
decision.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Because they're alcoholics and they want to
Ah, there you go.
You know?
Yeah. Have another drink.
Yeah. Oh, come on, let's go to the pub.
Yeah.
All right. And then
yeah.
off
and then you're off again.
Again.
Yeah.
yeah.
Look, George, all I can say is thank you so much for coming in. It's
no
very courageous of you to bring your story.
You. Yep.
Be proud of yourself because it's a massive, courageous thing that you've achieved and you've come out on the other side.
That's right.
You seem like a very, I'm not going to say normal because none of us are normal, a level-headed, you know where you want to be.
Yep.
You know what's right for you. You know you've got love in your family. You've got wife, children,
yep.
extended family that love you and care for you dearly.
That's it.
And the sun's shining, you're standing on your feet every day, you wake up every morning, what else could you want? And you're happy with what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yep, yep.
That's life. That's life.
Yep.
That's life.
I want a special thanks to my brother, because he's the one who saved me on my suicide.
All right.
And
we didn't talk about that.
No, yeah, well, what I did, I was drunk, and I filled up with medications.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to die.
You wanted to finish it.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Mm.
And I rang my brother up to say goodbye to him, and he got me into the hospital. That's the last I remember, basically. I woke up in the hospital.
Wow.
And a good old friend of mine, he was an orderly in the Royal Perth Hospital.
Wow.
And he came up and goes, "What are you idiot?"
Oh, no. I'm sorry, we didn't touch on the suicide part.
No, that's all right. Okay.
I find it difficult to talk about because I've had people in my life that have suicided, so I didn't skip over it for any reason. Mm. I totally forgot about that. I apologise for that.
No, that's all right.
Did you want to talk about it any further?
I can talk about it.
Yeah, go for it.
I couldn't see a light at the end of the tunnel with my alcohol, and I was drunk.
Yeah.
And I was devastated, absolutely brokenhearted with my kids, not seeing my kids.
Was this early on in the piece?
Yeah, very at the very start,
yep.
before the alcoholism really got bad. And then one day I've had enough, and I took a heap of blood pressure tablets and Panadol and you name it. They pumped me out with charcoal.
Yeah.
Charcoal in me and cleaned me out.
Yeah.
But I just remember ringing my brother and saying my goodbye. And that's what I remember after that.
I wonder what John remembers of that. I mean, that would have been difficult for him
to... Yeah, I was, yeah.
So he was obviously immediately out to
He was always there for me, my brother.
Yeah.
You know? I could be drunk and ring him and he'd listen.
Yeah.
Or go to his house because I've had a trauma.
Yeah.
I was never a suicidal person. I didn't think I was.
I don't think anyone thinks they are until it's at that point.
My dad used to say that's a coward's way out.
A lot of people say that. I don't really like that.
You can't say that.
I don't like that.
You don't know where it's coming from.
No, you don't. You know what? I think I've spoken to many people about suicide, and at that moment in time when you make a decision, you're not thinking about anybody else apart from your issues.
That's right.
Because if you were thinking about anybody else at that time, you'd be cognitively clear in your mind and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
When you become an alcoholic, you become the most self-centred, rude, arrogant person you can possibly imagine.
Wow.
Your world is right in front of you.
Yeah.
In that bottle.
In that bottle.
And nothing else exists.
Wow.
You can hurt people around you, you couldn't give a stuff.
And hence you can commit suicide because you don't think of anybody else around.
No.
And as I said, I've spoken to other people about it, and at that moment in time, you're not thinking about anybody else.
No.
Because if you were cognitive in your mind, if you were clear of your mind, you wouldn't commit suicide because you would be thinking about other people.
Well, I thought that was rock bottom, but the alcoholism was still to follow.
Yeah.
On top, I was already in there.
Yeah.
But it's to get worse.
Yeah.
But I never went down that road again.
Okay, so you've never been at that point. No. That's the next question I was going to ask you. No. So that, but that was a, quite a pivotal
moment.
The
port's
for you.
In my mind, but I never went there.
No.
No, but well, not that I can remember anyway.
No. Wow.
You don't remember too much when you're drunk. You black out.
You black out, do you?
Completely. Oh yeah. Yeah, you couldn't.
That's why you do it, though, right? To forget.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but sometimes you get that drunk, you can't remember anything whatsoever from the night before.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, sometimes.
Probably is a good thing.
How did I get here and wake up in some
Wake up
in the tree.
I can't believe you lived in a tree. How the hell did you come comfortable in a tree?
Oh, I used to tie myself to the branch. With my belt.
You're kidding me.
I used to tie my arms with my belt.
That's so clever.
I felt like it wouldn't hurt.
Oh my God.
I'd hang there and wake me up.
That's hilarious.
You laugh now.
That's clever. Well,
the trouble is, it used to get quite drafty because you're in the branches.
Oh God, yeah.
Well, the wind would be blowing.
Oh
up.
My Lord, you'd have to pick the right tree, wouldn't you? Wow. Okay, well, again, mate, thank you so, so much for, no for sharing your courageous story today. And I hope one person, 10 people, 1,000 people listen to your story and can relate to what you've said and see that the outcome is a positive outcome.
Very, very positive.
And it's worth going through the pain, physical and mental, to get to the place where you are today.
And the secret is not to go back. If you've dried out, please don't go back.
Don't go back.
Because you won't come back. Once you go back, you will die.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
And why would you want to go back when life can be such a positive thing?
That's right.
Thank you again. Exactly. I love the fact that people can share their stories with me. And if anybody else has a story they'd like to share,
you do a great job, mate. Very
please
good job.
Contact me on mishipl@outlook.com or contact IPL Radio, which would be great because I'm here non-judgmental. I just want to have a chat with people and allow people just to share their stories, how difficult they may be, how fun they are, how inspiring they may be. It doesn't matter what the story is. Mm. I just want people to be able to be a have a voice.
Yep.
To have everyone has a voice, that you're entitled to have a voice, and this is a safe environment to do so. So, thanks, George. Have a great day.
You've done a great job, mate.
Thank
you've
you.
You've cleared a lot of cobwebs out of my
head. Oh, really? That's so sweet.
Truly.
Thank you
been
so much.
Been sitting there brewing for a long time.
Let's go out and have a drink. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, coffee.
Let's go for a coffee.
I'll be in that.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The best music from the 60s to today. IPL Radio.